This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
We'll drink a drink, a drink to Lily the Pink.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mike McCammon, Medicine Man. I'm on Plains FM 96.9, one of the best little radio stations on earth, I reckon. And we're going to be talking today about toxic relationships. post-traumatic stress disorder, because I see quite a number of people suffering from anxiety and depression. And amazingly enough, a number of physical health conditions are coming from not a lack of vitamins, not a lack of minerals, not a lack of eating your greens, but actually from toxic relationships. And it could be one of the most profound causes of illness on this planet. So we'll have a little bit of talk about that, and not a particularly pleasant subject, but there's always a positive message somewhere, so we'll come back to you soon. So, g'day, this is Mike McCammon, and we're talking about post-traumatic stress disorders, and we're talking about, how people can get sick from the behaviour of other people's, and how we're treated and how we treat others makes a huge impact on how well we are. So, anyway, as I was coming into work this morning, I noticed wherever I went, everyone was letting me in the queue. You know, in the traffic, there was not a single tailgater. Isn't that amazing, you know? Because come the revolution, I'm going to have a certain number of people shot. Not that many, but a few. Tailgaters and people that make so-called kink-proof hoses. You know the hoses that never kink? Well, when I get them, when I get my hands on those guys. But seriously, folks, we've always got some things that are going to annoy us. Those little things are basically a small matter, aren't they? You know, nothing to get upset about, although it can be quite upsetting if someone's riding on your backside and you wonder, is this person completely insane, as if they think they're going to get there faster and putting everyone in danger. It's called intimidation. But what I'm going to talk about today is something that we crank it up like a thousandfold, which is something that is actually a serious matter, is something that we should get upset about. And it's called the behavior of the narcissist. This is an individual that has zero compassion. Now, you listeners out there, you're no doubt listening because you've actually got that wonderful quality that most human beings have. You actually give a damn about other people. I hope you do, because if you don't, go and listen to some other program, will you? Just, bugger off. Don't listen to me. Okay, but if you're a person that does actually care, interesting things happen to often people that do care. There are other people that don't care that will actually, you will be like a magnet to them. They will love to be around you, and they will expect you to run around for them and do everything possible just to make their life happy. It'll have nothing to do with making your life happy. Now, I'll go back a little bit in history. There's this guy called Machine Gun Harry. What's that got to do with narcissism and post-traumatic stress? Well, Machine Gun Harry was a character. I don't know what his real name was, but in the 1930s in Chicago, there was Al Capone, and they were selling alcohol illegally and up to all sorts of things. Well, Machine Gun Harry was actually the hitman. And, of course, they called him Machine Gun Harry because he would machine gun people. And I don't know how many people he killed, but there was a heck of a lot. Anyway, Machine Gun Harry was eventually put in the electric chair, which is the way they executed criminals. You know, they convicted them. But one of the most fascinating things is the last thing that Machine Gun Harry actually said was, it went something like this. I can't repeat his words exactly because I'm just going by memory here. But he says, look, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, all I wanted to do was give everyone a good time. And then he was dead. And the most astonishing thing about these particular characters we call narcissists, they're individuals that have zero compassion and zero caring about everybody else, but they're always, from their own point of view, they're always right. Isn't that astonishing? Now, you may know somebody like that, or you may not, but I'm suggesting that if you do know somebody like that and have been in your life, there's certain impacts that a character like that will have on your life. So the last talk I had was I talked about that, you know, I'm the medicine man. I talk about medicine. Well, you may think that medicine is about, in my case, herbal medicines, minerals, vitamins, eating well and all that. But it's actually more than that. It's also about being nice to other people. And there are some people that are downright a bit like the carbon monoxide of the village that they live in, the carbon monoxide of the country they live in, or the carbon monoxide of the very neighborhood they live in, or the carbon monoxide of everybody around them. In other words, they're as toxic as hell. And they're the people you've got to learn on, A, how to recognize them, and B, how to get out. Don't argue with them, because I can promise you this, they're always going to be right. So look, let's just go back in history again, because history is a great thing to sort of prove a point, or at least put a point across. Is there were some bad chaps in World War II, the Nazis that were behind the concentration camps. So in 1945, after the war ended, they actually a number of these criminals, these people that were gassing other people, were put on trial, and there was a chap. By the way, he was Jewish. He was a psychologist, and he was given the job of interviewing all these Nazis that had done these horrible war crimes and were actually on trial in Nuremberg after the war. He basically had his own agenda too. When he was interviewing these people, he wanted to find out, just for his own purpose and also for the world, to find out, well, what is it? What is that thing? What deep, dark thing lurks in some human beings that actually think they can gas people and still go home to their families and have dinner and pat the dog and think everything's cool and not even blink? Astonishing, isn't it? And this is just not one or two of them. There was actually a whole lot of Nazi guards and people that gassed other people. And they are narcissists. But anyway, he wanted to know the definition of evil. He just wanted to get it simply right. And so when I was listening to this and reading about this, I thought, oh, this is really interesting. I would really love to know the definition of evil. Now, in my own mind, I thought it was going to be something really profound, a paragraph or two, and, you know, deep and meaningful. It's because, you know, they didn't get a dog when they were three and whatever else, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, it was actually just one sentence, and it wasn't something that they had. It was something they didn't have, and it was called a lack of compassion. Just a lack of something. So there are human beings that are actually born, or maybe they're not born that way. Maybe it's a choice that they don't have this thing called empathy. So how are we going to recognize what is called a narcissist? This is the modern term for someone without empathy. And there's several different breeds of them, you know, ranging from mild to severe. And I suppose all of us in some degree have got a little dad of it, you know, of narcissism. We all want to be loved. And I suppose at the bottom line, the narcissist wants to be loved, and they'll do anything they possibly can to get that love. But it's a little bit more than that. So narcissists, and of course the old term was, in the biblical terms, they called the narcissist, was called the Jezebel spirit, right? That was another belief system, but it links very closely on to what we know nowadays as the narcissist. So, and they're actually everywhere. They're often at the center of a lot of dysfunctional relationships, and perhaps we didn't recognize them at first because these people are very charming and intelligent, and they even appear to be kind and caring. And if you happen to be dating one, you may initially believe you've won the lottery because they'll be all over you, okay? You may initially believe that you've actually won the best prize on the planet and you're the luckiest person in the world, but unfortunately those people that are closest to them, they know a whole lot of different stories, and you're not seeing the real person at all. So let's just go a few simple points about how to recognize a narcissist. Generally, you'll find in the conversation it's always about them. It's never about you. Occasionally it can be about you, but you'll find out it's only about you because they want something about you. So the narcissist have to run the show. Even if they claim it's not about them, they usually like to be the center of everything. So that's one of the things you should know. In a conversation, I'll always bring it round to them. Okay. Now, there's all sorts of reasons for that that we're not going to get into it. But what you find is over time, you'll discover that the attention or the so-called love, in abbreviated commas, is always conditional. They'll love you if you do this. They'll love you because you do that. They'll never love you for yourself. So it's the relationship with a narcissist is never about partnership, okay? It's a one-sided mental or physical connection that dictates emotional terms of the relationship. So they will use all the right words, but over time you will find that, you know, at first you'll feel really special, chosen, and so forth. You'll even feel saved from all the rat bags or whatever in the world, and you'll think that everything is so wonderful. Unfortunately, the longer you're in a relationship with a narcissist, the worse it will become. Okay, so the next thing you really want to notice with a narcissist, if you've been with this guy or with this girl, or it doesn't have to be in a relationship, it could be a boss, it could be a worker, it could be an employee if you're an employer, it could be something you've got into a business relationship with, you perish the thought, okay? But what you still will notice, the conversations as time goes by, now this might generally be after 6 months or a year, okay? When things go wrong, because it always does everywhere, you know, let's face it, in the best relationship in the world, something goes wrong and you deal with it, don't you? But in this case, it's always going to be your fault. No matter what, it will be your fault that things go wrong. And that's the rub with the narcissists. We're the ones that hurt them. They are hurting because of us. It's never the other way around. Unless we deserved it, but we do end up feeling we deserved it. And that's the thing. The narcissist will turn it around and you will go crazy because eventually you'll actually start to believe that it's your fault. And that's what their plan, that's their agenda, to make you feel guilt. And we're made to feel that we perpetuate the wrong. We're thereby doomed to feel shame forever. And they will remind us. They'll even find their friends, generally the weaker friends that they have, which they've got a lot of weak friends, they'll use their friends to say, oh, well, she said that about you too. Oh, and he said agrees with me, you know, this and this and this. And you find yourself eventually starting to feel the sense of eroded sense of self, and that's the most insidious thing about being in a relationship with the narcissist. So remember, this sort of bad medicine starts off as good medicine. You swear that this is such wonderful. And there are different stages we can classify it with. I've spent a lot of time studying this, of course. But the first initial stage of the what we call the techniques that narcissists actually get you in their grip is it's called gaslighting, and there's three main stages, okay? So during the initial stage, it's called idolation, and the narcissist put on their best face for you, okay? And what they want to do, you're the victim, remember, and they get you in a symbiotic relationship as their supply. So they want goodies from you, emotional goodies, physical goodies, often money goodies. They'll do everything they can to get what they want. So in the beginning, the relationship, your narcissist will share you with attention. They'll be the most charming, loving, flirtatious, energetic, exciting, and they'll be fantastic fun to be with. They will appear to be so happy and interested in you and your everything about you, you will enjoy every moment with this new charismatic person, okay? You won't know that you're actually a frog in the water and they're slowly heating up the water, and that can take a year or so, but they... you love how your narcissist is beautifully intense and how they appear to get drunk on life, and they want you to drink this elixir of life with them. So this is the part which is really the grooming part. They will groom and groom and groom and groom you, and you will feel this is the best thing that ever happened to you and what a lucky person you are. Remember, this can be in a relationship. This can be in a business relationship. This can be in a relatively so-called casual relationship. It can be all sorts of different relationships. It does not have to be in an intimate relationship, although narcissists will often use that sex to empower themselves on some way, on some manipulating level as well. Now, once that's all done, the narcissist will come to the point and say, they've got you. Now's the point where you've opened up. So you're going to tell them all your fears and all sorts of things you've never told anybody else. You'll tell them secrets. You'll absolutely open up, and you'll feel so confident that this person loves you to bits and wants to protect you for the rest of your life. And they only, in their own words, they'll never rip you off, and they will just be your friend forever. They'll take a bullet for you, by God. And this comes the next stage. It'll happen slowly at first, and it'll happen in a little burst. Some of it will shock you, and some of it you won't quite know that it's being undermined. So it's called the devaluation stage. They will start to slip things in about you not being okay. Now, remember, you're all open to this now, so they're going to tell you how not okay you are. So it's slipping into this devaluation stage, and it's if a lethal freak frog has descended over the relationship. Oh, sorry, fog. A lethal fog. Some sort of nasty toxic gas starts to filter into a relationship, which is the better way to explain it, really. And almost overnight, though, the narcissist becomes decisively cold and uncaring. You see a chilling side of them where you notice something that you might be hurt about something. They might have said something really cruel based on something you told them about something vulnerable in life. And they may have sort of turned it around and says, oh, but you're this and this. And it will shock you to the core. You will feel like you've suddenly fallen from grace with this person that you really, really cared about. And it's a pretty hard fall. You hit pretty hard because after that, nothing you do is going to be right. Nothing at all you're going to be right anymore. The narcissist's loving words turn into criticism, and everything you try to do ends in a negative effect. So all the nice things you do, and this is what happens. You do something nice because you know they'll appreciate that, and you want to let them know that you didn't want to hurt them, and so on and so forth and so on. And you'll keep doing that, and you'll do all these nice things. But everything will be devalued, and you will become confused. So if you're a bit confused and you're in a relationship like that, hopefully I'm going to get time to say the solutions on how to get out of this whole situation. So the thing is, you don't actually know what's happening. You can become very stressed. You can be unhappy and depressed with the whole situation, which becomes like a roller coaster. And all your energy is like organized at how you're not going to offend your abuser. But this time you don't know it's your abuser. It's been so subtle that you've obviously done something wrong. And remember, it's your fault, and they've told you it's your fault, and you've hurt them very, very badly. And they're going to make you pay, and you're going to try harder and harder and harder to please them. Oh, boy. And the narcissist is starting already to look for other people or other situations where they can get their supply. The third and final stage is when they discard you. You know, if once they've got what they want, right, it might be money. Oftentimes it's the money. You've paid the money over if it's a business relationship or whatever. If it's sex, they've got what they wanted. They want to move on to something fresh. It could be emotional. It could be all sorts of things, you know. It's just whatever they want, and it's all about what they want. It's nothing to do with what you want. You will then be discarded in the most cruel way, and you'll be left thinking that you did it all, or you'll just be completely and utterly confused. Now, although these three stages seem extreme, it's actually quite subtle, and there's various different levels of it. But the most important thing to know, and we don't have time to go over the whole thing, but the damage that comes from that actually can manifest physically. Right, you can start getting periods of anxiety, depression, commonly as migraines. Oftentimes I find behind people's migraines is this sense of there's a post-traumatic stress. So this is all comes into the dynamics of what ends up as post-traumatic stress. It's usually from a dynamic. And this is post-traumatic stress that comes from situations and relationship. We can get post-traumatic stress that comes from, say, the earthquake and other things. But this time I'm talking about the stress that comes from toxic relationships. And the number one thing to do, first and foremost, is get out. Do not argue with the narcissist, because the one thing that's the most hardest thing for a caring individual to actually get is you're not actually talking to a rational person, and you're not going to be talking to a person that's ever going to see anything different than their point of view, because remember that place, thing that you have, which is compassion and empathy, it does not exist in them. It actually doesn't exist when it's a toxic relationship like that with a toxic narcissist. So at the end of the day, there's a lot more in the recovery phase, and that's what I want to talk about perhaps in another time. But the most important thing to remember is you're not crazy, and that's the most important thing I try to tell my patients with the traumatic stress, is that where they're coming from is they're suffering not from their weakness. It's not a weakness. The victim of the narcissist is actually quite strong, but they have this huge compassion, and it's the narcissist has used their greatest strength against them. And the most important thing is never compromise who you really are, and you can say no. So the most important word to know when you've realized you're with a narcissist is just two letters, and it's called no. And you don't argue about it. You don't sit there and say, well, what part of no don't you understand? But you do not argue with the narcissist. You just get out of the way. And remember that it's going to take time to build your self-esteem, and there's all sorts of ways to do that. But the most important thing to know is, A, you're not crazy. You're not weak. In fact, you're beautiful. It makes you a better person. And perhaps in another talk, I'll show you on the road to recovery. So I talked about this today because oftentimes I've talked about before, there is a place of no remedy where I can say, well, this is not a vitamin deficiency. This isn't because of what you eat. This has nothing to do with your genetics. This isn't something that you've done that's caused it. This is something that's an outside force that is a pretty powerful reason behind what creates a lot of illness in the world. And so this goes right across the planet. When you find chemical companies, or say, for example, tobacco companies, I suspect that they're run by narcissists, because how could you possibly make toxic substances and sell them around the world and actually make money out of killing people? And that's really the point. And the only way we can stop it is through understanding. And the narcissists are all around us. They're amongst us. And beginning to understand that, we can actually move through it. So when it comes to the herbal medicine, of course, the first thing I do for someone in post-traumatic stress is I use nerve nutrients, and my favorite one is ashwagandha or withania. So if you're out there, you do have post-traumatic stress, the most important thing to do is to take a safe herb that nourishes your nervous system so you can start to feel nourished inside, because it always begins with nourishment. And I use withania or ashwagandha for that. I also use bark flower remedies, and we can use hypnosis, and there's all sorts of other things to do. But the important thing is to have regular weekly nourishment sessions, whether it's massage, whether it's Reiki, whether it's foot therapy, whether it's talking with friends, whether it's going out for coffee with people that genuinely lovely. Surround you with people that have stood the test of time, and they're the best people to have around. And if you feel slightly uncomfortable with anybody, get out of the way. Do not argue with them. You don't even have to say anything. Just get out, okay? So we'll carry on a little bit with that theme a bit, and we'll get back to herbal medicine as soon as we can too. So thanks for listening to The Medicine Man today, and I wish you well, and remember, you are okay. Lots of love. Bye-bye.